Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the Holtcast. It's time to discuss Aston Villa 7, yes 7, Liverpool 2.
Aston Villa 7, Liverpool 2. Yes, you're hearing that right. It's not a made-up storyline or anything along the lines of that. It's real life. Of course, Cole Pettum here. As always, I am joined by my good friend, Danny Raza. Danny, how are you doing during this fine evening?
Man, I am jubilant. That has to be one of the best, if not the best, Villa performances I have ever seen, certainly in my time as a fan. 7-2 victory over the champions. You could not ask for anything better than that. Maybe a clean sheet would have been nice for Emiliano Martinez, but I'm sure he will be sleeping easy tonight regardless.
I think everyone's going to be sleeping easy. Of course, we have the international break coming up, so we can kind of revel in the success for basically almost 2 weeks. Maybe we'll come back to reality when we face Leicester next, but who knows? They just came off a walloping themselves in some instances. So, of course, it's not just Danny and myself. This evening, we have Steven from Villa Analytics on Twitter. Steven, how are you feeling, my friend?
Yeah, I'm pretty great. It's a good day to be a Villa fan.
Yeah, 100%. It's to be honest, guys, like if we stop making sense here and there, I think a lot of Villa fans, in fact, will probably think, what the hell just happened this evening? So if you see us kind of getting off our game here and there, that may be why. But anyways, let's kind of go over the game as a whole. Of course, Ollie Watkins hat trick, Jack Grealish 2 goals, 3 assists, Ross Barkley a perfect start, a goal in his Villa debut, McGinn getting on the score sheet himself, 3 of those goals being deflections. Of course, we conceded to a basically just 2 classy Salah goals, but goals galore in this game, 9 in total. I was wishing for the 8-2, Danny, so we could do the 8-2 meme, but nonetheless, we didn't get it. But let's get into maybe the first kind of important talking point that kind of encompasses the whole game, because whether you're a Liverpool fan, a Villa fan, a commentator, a media personality, whatever it is, you know some media outlets are kind of going to go on the whole Mane, Alisson missing out, the 3 deflected goals, this result just being a blip in pure luck. Danny, how did you see it in your eyes?
Well, I think, first of all, I don't think somebody does work in the media. I think it's fair to say that, you know, Liverpool will feel a little bit hard done by the fact that Mane and Alisson are out. You know, Adrian did make a goalkeeping error, but, you know, look, at the end of the day, this is the champions. They account for this. They account for players being out injured. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, you're saying that whilst Mohamed Salah's on the pitch. Do you know what I mean? You're saying that whilst Trent Alexander-Arnold was, Andy Robertson are on the pitch. This is a side with a lot of top quality players. And essentially what happened, you know, in Villa's case was that Dean Smith, you know, he came out there and did the right thing tactically. I'm not the tactician that's on the podcast today, by the way. I know Steven's a tactician, but yeah, look, I think Villa have to be proud of themselves. Yes, Liverpool defended badly. There was a lot of horrible things to say about that Liverpool performance, but end of the day, they went forward well. Villa just, it was one of those days where everything came off.
Yeah, I honestly couldn't say it much better myself. Of course, we'll get to Steven next because he is the quote-unquote stats man. The man came prepared with pre-match, and really post-match and current match. Any stats you need, he is there for the job, of course. So, Steven, we'll come to you next. How did you feel about the game? Did you have any concerns? And I guess most importantly, does this game in your mind in any way have an asterisk beside it because of those Liverpool missings, I guess you could say, and unlucky moments during the game?
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that Sadio Mane may have been missing, but he was replaced by a £35 million winger they've just signed. So it's not like they had a B-team player out there. It was Diogo Jota. But I don't think it's fair to put any type of asterisk next to the game because, yeah, there might have been an element of fortune around a few of our goals, But we also scored 7 goals against the best defense in the Premier League.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I think a lot of people will look at this as just a freak result. And you know what? Like, fair enough. Like, you're not going to realistically see this from Villa again this season. If it does happen, then, like, I'm all for it. But at the end of the day, it's a massive result. This means we're perfect in the Premier League. We're 3-0. We're on 9 points. We're sitting in second. We're above the likes of Liverpool's, your Chelsea's, your Man United's, your prototypical top six. Of course, we're only a few games in. When, hell, we still actually have a game advantage. We have one less than most sides. So I think when you're looking at this game, Danny, I'll come to you. Is this a statement piece? Like, what does this say for the purposes of Aston Villa Football Club? Is there a statement intent at all?
Yeah, look, this is Villa announcing themselves against a big team for the season. Do you know what I mean? I think, you know, that Villa have obviously, we've played 5 games so far and won 4 of them. But hang on, is that right? That is right, isn't it? And I think Villa, people were talking about how... Now, wait, hold up a second. Yeah, they've won 4. Sorry. I'm just counting it, man. People have been talking about how Villa have, you know, they've only done it against Bristol. They've only done it against Sheffield United, Fulham. Fulham made Villa look like Bayern Munich last week. It wasn't the other way around or whatever it was. But this is Villa's first big test. This is Villa's first 11 going out there and having a big test against the champions. And the question was always going to be, are Villa going to be able to perform against those top sides? Yes, Villa can go to Sheffield United and get themselves a result. Yes, they can do it at Fulham, but can they do it against the top sides? We saw a little bit of it at the end of last season, you know, getting that victory over Arsenal. But this was a massive announcement. Really was. And I think for me, more than anything, it shows me that Villa's first 11 are capable of a lot. What's going to be hard is the fact that it's a long, hard slog of a season. But if they can get a few more results like this, then relegation's out of the question. But as I say, it's a long, hard slog, and they've just shown what they're capable of.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, I don't know how many times I've said it. You've said it, Danny. Other people we've had on the podcast, even going into last season, have said it. This season has to be and has so far been all about just improving incrementally on certain things, whether that be taking advantage of course, the Sheffield United situation, being a man up, whether that means going into Fulham and just honestly giving them a thrashing. Going into this game with a statement of intent, last season we only beat one of your prototypical top six sides, being Arsenal, and that was literally one of our last games and the main reason that we stayed up. Like, that was a huge statement piece, and it kind of just seems like ever since we've picked up that hot form, it's just we're continuing with it, and it's great to see. Now, we'll go on to Ollie Watkins next, and we'll go back to Steven, because the first few games, people are kind of wondering, is he going to score? What's going on? People are being patient for the most part, but of course you still have your few people here and there in the fan base that are going to whinge if he doesn't score like 20,000 goals a game, basically. But nonetheless, the man gets a hat trick, and his first Premier League goal and his first Premier League hat trick comes against Liverpool. So from your standpoint, Stephen, how did you feel about his overall performance?
Well, anyone that does follow me on Twitter will know that I'm one of the biggest Ollie Watkins fanboys out there, but I thought he showed exactly why I like him so much today. Obviously, as you mentioned, the 3 goals, he had the assist, he hit the bar, he had another good chance, which he was probably offside for. But I just thought that was the Ollie Watkins game, where he showed that he is such a fantastic player in his hold-up play, in the way he links with the midfielders, and also being a massive, massive goal threat.
Oh, 100%. Like, the confidence, like, not even aside from the goals, like, the confidence, there is probably at least 2 to 3 instances where I can think where he's not even facing Liverpool defenders, and he's literally juggling it in front of their faces. The one in my mind is where he's leaning back and Gomez pulls him down for a free kick in basically the middle of the pitch. Like, the audacity and confidence at that point to pull those moves against your elect champions Liverpool, of course, of last season, and most writing them again for this season, is insane. Like, the confidence of the man, and I guess kind of to go into even last season as well, like, I do wonder partially what happens with Wesley when he comes back, because unfortunately, it looks like Watkins is what we hoped Wesley would be, and I'm not saying Wesley isn't good enough, but it also makes me very excited to say as well, when he does come back, we do have two pretty darn good options, in my opinion. But Danny, I'll come back to you. Let's move on to Ross Barkley, because it's, to be honest, it's a dream performance. He slots right in there. He's playing literally right off of Jack. They're playing really off of each other. He pops up with a goal and basically three crucial chances, if I'm kind of going off the top of my memory. One or two he probably should have slotted away. How did you feel about his performance today? Because watching him, like, Jack's face was filled with joy just playing one-twos with this man today. And I am all for that. Like, long may that continue.
Yeah. Oh, could have scored a hat-trick, couldn't he, Barkley? So I think, you know, first of all, and let's get on to the Jack Grealish thing. Jack's always looking for somebody to support him and you know, read his mind when it comes to his passes. And I think with Barkley being so far up the pitch, it meant that, you know, there was that distance between himself and Watkins, you know, the distance between Grealish and Watkins was closed off a little bit more. It meant that Villa could play a little bit more in Liverpool's area. And obviously, I know we're going to get onto this, because let's be honest, this is the overriding reason why Villa won today. Liverpool's line was so high. But I think, you know, with Barkley as well, I said right on this podcast that I really wanted Villa to sign him, because he's the kind of player that picks up the ball from deep and drives it forward. He didn't need to pick it up from deep. You know, he played way further forward than I thought he was going to. He looked like a support striker. You know, I'd say further up than a number 10. And that was really, really interesting. You know, first of all, from what Dean Smith, in terms of what Dean Smith did, like, what is Barkley going to be for Villa? And I think also the other thing that really surprised me with him today was taking so many shots with his left peg. I read somewhere that I think earlier on in, you know, the start of the year or like end of last year, he was forced to like train with his left foot by Frank Lampard because he picked up an injury on his right foot. And it seems like he's picked up the ability to be pretty ambidextrous, because he just kept shooting with that left peg. And eventually, you know, that deflection helps him out with that goal, he scored. But it was just really, really fun to watch him. It just looks like a new option that I don't think Villa have had a player in that position for so long.
Yeah, like, I think the thing that kind of I picked up from this game is that, in which still blows my mind, for one, of course, this result, but two, like, of course, Liverpool playing a high line, it can be risky for any side, but of course you think it's Liverpool, like, they're basically just going to be like, a cobra, a boa constrictor, whatever, and they're just going to kind of worm their way around your body and just squeeze the life out of you that way with possession and quality chances and all that kind of stuff. But they couldn't handle our movement and our passes. And I think the one thing that worked out so well was Barkley. I think if you – I don't want to put any kind of damper on Hurahan, because he's had some great performances so far this season, but – you don't get that directness and that kind of pace moving forward with him and the opportunities to create more high quality scoring chances. In my opinion, he's going to move the ball off someone. With Barkley, he's literally just driving it down their throats. Like, he was giving Virgil van Dijk, arguably one of the best center backs in the world, a field day. Gomez couldn't handle it as well. Their wing backs were non-existent, in my opinion. And the best thing I noticed about that, he was able to basically suck in two Liverpool defending players, whether it be Van Dijk, well, basically both center backs, or you'd have to look at a right back center back combination, and basically just freed Grealish up to the point where he could do whatever he wants. And when Grealish can do whatever he wants, it's a scary thing. And Stephen, I'll come to you next, because as we went over this podcast, we're going all over the place, but you kind of have to when you score seven goals, especially against the champions. Was there any stats on your end that kind of spoke out and just kind of were glaring out in this game?
But one thing I did notice, obviously Danny mentioned about Barkley playing so high up the pitch. If you look at the players' average positions from today, the formation looks much more like a 4-4-2 with Barkley alongside Watkins, because he really was pushing so high up the pitch. But with the main stats that I'm concerned about today are just how many goals and assists all of our players had. Like, that's the standout thing. It's just baffling.
It's crazy. Like, I love Jack. I love him to death. But two goals and three assists. Like, if there's anyone that had, we've kind of already went over this kind of pre-recording, but if you had Grealish, Watkins, and Salah in your team just from this game, you're probably winning your fantasy pool for this league. If you had James Rodriguez as well, you're loving life. Like, insane. This weekend has been ridiculous. Like, this is the weekend that we've seen United will be tied for their biggest loss at home to Spurs. You've seen West Ham beat Leicester 3-0. I'm kind of forgetting all the other results, but there's been some crazy results just today. And I think for this whole season, we're experiencing a lot of news, whether that be because of no fans in the stands, whether that be a bunch of other reasons. Regardless, Villa are one of those teams that are in form. And Daniel, I'll come to you next, because I think it's evident that we saw the hunger and the lively desire to play on the counterattack, to express ourselves. But I think the thing that spoke to me and you always chat usually during games, is of course we're 2-0 up at one point and we're thinking, okay, like, whatever, this doesn't mean anything because it's typical Villa. We could still lose this. We saw it happen last season, of course, and we've seen it what feels like a million times before. So kind of going from that standpoint, how impressed were you knowing that, well, not one, we just kept scoring and kept that momentum, but two, we just didn't concede too many goals?
Yeah, so, like, you worry about Villa getting nervous, right? But what's funny is they almost, like, didn't allow themselves to get nervous. Like, they put in all the preventative measures to make sure they didn't. They just went and kept scoring. I think, really, you know, for me, it was the fact that Liverpool were just shocked, weren't they? You know, the defenders were like, begging for someone like Mane, who obviously wasn't on the pitch, to like take the game by the scruff of its neck and do what Liverpool can do going forward. You know, Robertson as well was you know, he was bombing down the left-hand side. You're expecting him to kind of get more. With Liverpool, you're expecting him to score 3 or 4 goals, right? But Villa just didn't let up. And I think the Villa of last season would have sat back and tried to defend that. But what Villa did actually was they kept on defending like they had from the start. And I think, in a way, Liverpool made it easy for them, but the game plan was just executed so, so well. You heard Smith say after the game that they concentrated on those long switches. So Liverpool, like, switching, like, basically, as you say, suffocating the opposition. You know, they're very good at stopping you from moving the ball around. Well, Villa just pinged it to the other side of the pitch, and it stretched them and just left so much space open. And because they were so high up the pitch, it was just a matter of making the chances count. And the thing is, Cole, it could have been about 10. Barkley, yeah, and Watkins both missed a couple of sitters each. Watkins missed one sitter. I think Barkley could have scored a couple more. Basically, I don't know how to put this, Cole, but Dean Smith out-tacticianed Jurgen Klopp. Villa gegenpressed them at times. But also, this is a situation of Leicester versus Southampton. Of last season, was it last season when they beat Southampton 9-0? Was it?
Can I just stop you there, Danny? How positive we're being right now is I can't believe we're talking about the same Villa that we were talking about this time last season. This is mental.
I'm trying to put it into perspective though. This is why it happened, right? When you play a high line, if you have the players, it comes off, right? But at some point, someone is just going to tear you to shreds, and that's what happened to Liverpool. Leicester have done this to teams before. They did it to City last week, right? And they've done it. They did it to Southampton last year with the 4-4-2 as well. That high line is just—it's going to get ripped apart by certain sides. And basically, Dean Smith played exactly what you need to do against that Liverpool defense. So I think that's what basically happened. And they didn't have a backup plan for it. But I'm just going on and on about why Villa won. But basically, there's a lot of factors. I'm going to hold it to that high line, though. I'm holding it to that high line. That's the whole damn issue. It also happened to Schalke last week, so there you go.
Yeah, but, like, I think the thing is, too, we can definitely all agree on this, that's in this recording right now, and to the listeners, of course, as well, is that this result, like I've said before, it could just be a blip, whatever. Like, but to me, this result would have never happened last season, like, in my eyes. And it's crazy to see not only the progression of players that over here last season and went through that struggle, i.e. Target, Trezeguet, the list goes on, Konsa, Mings, whoever it may be. It just seems like with the quality additions we've made and the experience that these players that we had last season had in the Premier League and are currently having, like, it's just unreal. Like, look at Trezeguet. The man's a workhorse. Like, he, in my opinion, really hasn't put a foot wrong, probably arguably this season so far. And that is a far cry from what we were seeing last season, where it was a lot of people were getting on him and Elghazi's back, saying they're not good enough, they're never going to work, yada, yada, yada. But Steven, I'll come to you next, because I think this is a good talking point. Maybe a lot of people won't bring it up, and that being Villa's fullbacks. And of course, that's Matty Cash and Target himself. So a lot of people get on Target's back, and you can kind of say rightly so sometimes. A lot of people say we need to replace that. That's probably the next thing. And in my opinion, and of course, Steven, like I said, I'll come to you. He didn't really put a foot wrong. Neither of them did they?
Yeah, I thought they were both fantastic tonight. I thought Matty Cash's height was huge for us in the way that Emi Martinez was able to just clip it out to him to beat that Liverpool press. But I thought the two of them were fantastic defensively, fantastic going forward as well. The energy that they put into that performance was a massive, massive part of the win.
Oh, 100%. Like, if I look at Cash in particular, I think, like, some people, like, let's be honest, guys, if someone is negative about this result from a Villa standpoint, then I have no time for you. Like, no time for you. Because, of course, it's a great result. And if we nitpick even the goals, of course, there's a few opportunities on a Liverpool perspective where Cash, of course, is either caught up too high up the pitch or he's kind of caught out entirely from the situation. I know a few times where they're whipping in the ball with no one really covering that, but at the same time, it's the risk of playing how we're playing. And to be honest, it's this game is just a story of being riskier and taking those risks and really going through with them and scoring those goals that we need. And that's something that we haven't really seen a lot of. And yeah, but anyways, Danny, let's move on to the next thing. And we'll touch on Jack Grealish, because we kind of have and kind of haven't this episode. Of course, like I said before, 2 goals and 3 assists. The man was on fire. In particular, how did you find him today?
He just did what he usually does, right? Just found himself in so much space and you know, was clinical in the final third. And he is clinical in the final third. The way he sets up other players is fantastic. You know, he's adding goals to his game now. And I know he started that last season and he was our top scorer, but he's really getting there now, isn't he? And I think we're starting to see the best of him. But yeah, just I thought he had a fantastic game. What's interesting is he almost had quite a quiet one, in the sense that he was not a one-man team for Villa. You know, Villa always get this stick. They always get this, oh, we are, but, you know, Grealish has done it on his own. He was one of many very good players on the pitch, and he did his job excellently as a playmaker. Once again, him and Watkins just seem to know each other. They just seem to read each other so well. And that link-up is something which I'm really excited to see more of this season. The way that Watkins would hold up the ball and slip it through to Grealish somehow, the way that Grealish is able to do it to Watkins, just great to see. And adding that with Ross Barkley as well, again, also exciting. But yeah, you have to hand it to Jack. You have to hand it to Jack. 3 assists and 2 goals. You know, it's almost, those assists almost go missing in that, don't they? But he's done a very good job.
Oh, very good job. Like, Stephen, I'll come to you because I want to hear how you thought of his performance, because like Danny said there, like, of course, we noticed the 2 goals, but those 3 assists, they really kind of went unnoticed in a weird way, didn't they?
Yeah, I think today was pretty much the ultimate Jack Grealish performance, where he did everything he can do. Nothing made you think, where did that come from? How did he do that? But it was just, for the whole 90 minutes, every time he got the ball, he'd carry it. He'd look dangerous. He could pick pretty much any pass he wanted to. And he obviously had the goal threat as well.
Oh, 100%. Like, if I look at Squawka here, I'm going to steal the stats pants from Steven here for a second, because I found this good screenshot and I thought it's worth reading. So he had 51 touches, 8 ball recoveries. He had, what was it, 5 out of 6 duels won, 5 chances created, 3 tackles made, 3 assists, 2 shots, 2 goals, 2 clearances. Like, it's a man on fire. But nonetheless, let's get on to the next segment of the podcast, and that being your comments on Twitter. Of course, if you want to tweet us, it's at 7500Holt. We always, after every match, ask for your match reactions, and we'll read out as many as we can. There's actually quite a few. I think there's over 15 or so this time. So I'll pick just a few, and sorry to the ones that we missed. get involved next time, and I'll be sure to read them out. So let's start off with at Seth410. I won't read out his Twitter handle because it's political, so let's not do that. So yeah, but anyways, he says, hard to dismiss this win as a trap game for Liverpool after goals 5, 6, and 7. Last season, you would say that Villa was nothing without Jack, but is Liverpool in that boat now? I believe he's saying with missing Mane.
Good point.
Liam Lovelace Smith says, thought we have one hell of a team now. The way we have gelled together is unbelievable in such a short space of time. It's like Ross and Ollie been there for years, and we build on this team and keep star men. And I can honestly say, and I love this, and this is so early on in the season, but whatever. He's saying, I can honestly say European football won't be far away. Oh, that's, I love that. Okay, so I'm getting carried away with the joy you can hear in my voice, but nonetheless, Reese Bones, Reese J says, can't deny I teared up a bit. Never in my lifetime have I seen a game in such, or been so incredible, so shocking, and so meaningful. We really feel like we were back now, and I'm delighted. And I want to give a special shout out to Mark Wheatley as well. He tweeted like three very well detailed kind of his thoughts. I won't get into them because he gets very detailed and I don't want to take up too much more time. But shout out to him. I did read your comment, and great thoughts, of course. And let's see here. Let's stop with Colin Frederick saying, I don't even know, but up the Villa. And I think that's more than fair enough. So let's kind of wrap things up, guys, because to be honest, we could go on and on probably for days with how happy we are right now. But Danny, before we get on to the FPL stuff, who was your man of the match? It's hard, isn't it?
Like, it's hard because it's between Grealish and Watkins. Barkley had a fantastic game. Don't get me wrong. He had a very good game. And also John McGinn, by the way, just absolutely owned everything. Can I just say that, right? John McGinn, he'll go unnoticed because of the fact that Watkins scored a hat-trick and Grealish got as many assists as he did. But wow. Wow. I don't ever think I've seen a better box-to-box midfield performance at Villa. Like, that would... Okay, maybe that's a bit exceptional. But I thought it was ridiculously good. I mean, do you have a stat for how many tackles he might have made, Stephen? Do you know how many tackles he made? By any chance?
Give me a second.
I love that we have a stats person. He can just do this. I love this.
Because who scored said he didn't make any tackles. But I think the interceptions were on a mad one.
Three tackles and three interceptions.
Look at that. Oh,
my goodness. Four recoveries is a lot.
Stephen, we're keeping on you on the podcast for everyone, so we can just be like, hey, can you check that?
just sat there in the background.
You sound like Joe Rogan's Jamie. pull that up real quick. No, wouldn't do that. Grealish for me because of the assists. Jeez, man. Yeah, I'm going to go with Grealish. As much as Watkins' hat-trick was great, I think I'm going to go with Grealish because 2 goals and 3 assists, you can't beat that, can you? That's five. No. It's being directly involved with 5 goals, you cannot beat that.
No, you can't beat it at all. And of course, Stephen, we'll come to you next. Who is your man of the match and why?
Am I allowed to say Dean Smith?
If you can say whoever the hell you want tonight. Tonight's a special night, my friend.
Yeah, I'm going with Dino. Because as I told you, I sat down before the game with a pen and paper and wrote some bits down about how I thought we could even have a chance against Liverpool. And I managed to come up with one way we could maybe get a goal if we risk conceding 5, which was to push target on. And Smith managed to get us to score 7. So that's why he's the manager and I'm the tweeter.
Stephen, can you maybe explain this tactical change? Like what? Like because we had a winning formula with the 4-3-3, and Dean Smith never seems to want to move away from it. I mean, okay, last season we went with 3 at the back or 5 at the back or whatever you want to call it because we went on a run of defeats or whatever, but what happened? Why the change and why the confidence to push Barkley so up? Because he played as a striker today. He wasn't playing in midfield.
I think it's just he took a gamble. I'm guessing he probably knew that we didn't stand the best of chances of getting anything from this game. So thought, let's switch it up to something that might work, and it did.
Not fair.
That's fair. Yeah, like
I think we pressed them well as well, like up there with two forwards.
Yeah, because like I think the thing when you go into a game like this, so like we'll see this when we come against City and a lot of big other teams too, is that you realistically, I think everyone's honest when they're in that dressing room, they know the chances of getting things out of those kind of games aren't always the highest, and if anything, they're kind of non-existent. So I think the thing that impressed me the most, and I'll get into my man of the match in a second, has to just be the fact that we went for it. And it was almost like, it was almost like, okay, you're going to score two goals, but we're somehow going to score seven. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just an impetus to attack and see what happens. And it's nice to see the kind of change in Dean Smith as well. And I love Steven's mention of him being his man of the match, because really, like, Dean Smith is all over these seven goals, if you think about it. Because if you're looking from a kind of just an output perspective of the whole squad, when would you have seen this last season? I feel like I've just kind of been saying this a lot, and I probably have, but like the change of last season, where if we would have lined up against Liverpool, we were probably hoping to nick one and then just kind of hold on for dear life. And we saw what happened last season when we did that. And this season, it just kind of seems like, damn it, I'm going to play Dean Smith ball. I'm going to play the brand I want to play, and I'm going to go for it. And it's so far with the actual players that he wants, clearly it's working. So more of that to come, and hopefully we continue to go undefeated, because I am all about this positivity, and with the fan base not moaning, it's a perfect moment.
I've always been so jealous of the teams that are able to do this as well. You know, this coming out teams, you know, I'm so used to seeing Villa just try and see what they can get. And I've always been so jealous of the teams like Leicester or the teams like Burnley, maybe not so much now, but you know, you've seen it from the past. Teams like Sheffield United last season, who went over to like Man City or went over to Liverpool and went, you know what, we're going to just try and outdo you and just have a go, because it shakes them up. You know, the reason why a lot of these defenders have clean sheets is because attackers don't have the confidence to come at them. And you know what? We showed a lot of frailties and a lot of weaknesses in that Liverpool side today. They're so used to having space, and we did not give them that space all that time. And I thought that was just so important. The way we were cutting out balls in midfield, Louise and McGinn just getting in there, Watkins as well. Man, I'm just happy we got to experience that as fans.
Yeah, I think the biggest shame, Danny, is just, and yes, I'll get to my man of the match in a second. I just remembered I didn't say it, but I think the biggest shame is that there is no fans there. And Dean Smith said that in his post-match remarks as well. Like, I can only imagine, of course, I can't witness it myself being in Canada, but perhaps either of you would have the opportunity to, as of course, because you're in the UK, but to be in that stadium for a 7-2 thrashing of Liverpool. Like, I think Dean Smith said he was there in the late 70s when I think their Villa were 5-0 up at halftime. Yeah. Like, to be a part of that, that is a moment that is the ultimate shame for me, because think of that could be some little boy or girl's first match ever. Like, how insane would that have been, a moment for them to remember that? Not just for Villa youth and, of course, the old and mid-age, whatever age you are as a fan. Like, it's an incredible moment. So hopefully everyone's enjoying that safely in their homes during these crazy times. But quickly, I will say my man of the match has to be Ollie Watkins. And that's purely just because of the hat trick. The confidence also to get an assist, which I don't think we've mentioned as well. And almost get his fourth as well. When it hit the crossbar for the eighth, I was ecstatic, thinking, oh my God, we're getting the 8-2 memes. We're going to live with 8-2 memes for 2 weeks. We were so close. And I will say, because I said this before we went on, I kind of said when Nakamba was about to come on, like, for him to please score a screamer. And to be honest, it almost did happen. So I think I deserve some plaudits from that, even though it really doesn't matter. But nonetheless, Danny, do you have any final remarks before we sign this one off?
Oh, man, just enjoy it, because it might be a long time before we see another win like that again. But to be honest, just great to see Villa humiliate the champions, and great to just shut a lot of people up as well. Really is great to just shut a lot of people up, because Grealish has been getting stick, you know, from other fans, you know, because of the old England situation. Villa have been getting stick for spending 30 million on Ollie Watkins. You know, we've had to sit and listen to people you know, praise Leeds United for losing 4-3 to Liverpool. Well, you know, I think Villa shut a lot of people up today. You know, nobody talks about Villa. No one gives Villa the credit that they deserve. Well, I hope you watch that, and I hope you give them the credit now. I'm speaking with a lot of passion and a lot of cockiness after this victory, because I'm going to enjoy it whilst I can. International break coming up. Gareth Southgate, please protect Jack Grealish. And I really hope everybody comes back fit and raring to go for the next part of the season.
Yeah, I can't wait for Gareth Southgate to be asked about Grealish and applaud Mason Mount. So I'm very, very excited for that. Stephen, we'll get your closing remarks now. Any thoughts, any extra stats or anything you wanted to bring up before we sign off?
Just more of the same of what Danny said, really. It was just, you know, this is Villa at our best. Just enjoy it. And yeah, that's pretty much all I can say. It's just great.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's the best way to kind of end this. Of course, I'll make a special note here, of course, before we...
You didn't give your man of the match.
Yes, I did. I said Ollie Watkins.
Oh, you must have just like buried it under a
yeah,
question.
Yeah, I didn't realize you'd said it either.
Thank you both for listening to me while I speak. It's very much appreciated. Just like the little listeners. They skip over me and they go to you guys, of course. But the one thing I did want to mention before we sign off is Craig Shakespeare, of course, was part of that managerial team at Leicester that narrowly avoided relegation, then won the league shortly after. Can it happen again with Villa? I guess we'll wait and see. We'll leave that as a teaser, of course, once we're back after the international break. But of course, thank you very much to both Danny and to Stephen for joining me this evening. Of course, if you want to find Danny on Twitter, it's at @RazaJourno. If you want to find Stephen on Twitter, it's at Villa Analytics. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Talk Aston Villa. All together, we make up the Holtcast. Tweet us at 7500 Holt. Email us, new email address, holtcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys for all the great support, following us to the new feed for this podcast. I'll push some more stuff out so we get more of you finding it again. And don't forget, up the Villa.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.